Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about OF&P, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. And I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where there are audio, videos, and articles on tax, estate planning, and business planning topics of interest, hopefully to you and your loved ones, so that you can establish your blueprint for wealth. And lastly, I invite you to follow my column in the Washington Business Journal entitled Blueprint for Wealth for Tax, Estate Planning, and Business Planning Ideas of Interest. Today, we're going to talk about Nevada corporations. Why are we talking about Nevada when we're here in Virginia, Maryland, and D.C.? The reason is that they've achieved a lot of notoriety lately, notoriety and popularity in terms of the state to incorporate. You know, a lot of people ask me this question. In fact, I got a question asked at a cocktail party the other night. They said, why do people incorporate in Delaware? Why is Delaware such a hot place? And then I started to talk about Delaware, and I actually noted that Nevada has become one of the hot places. And I started to think about, well, this would be a great topic for a radio show. If I'm starting up a business or I'm incorporating, where would I incorporate today? You know, historically, Delaware has been the state of choice. However, other states, like Nevada, have shaped their corporate laws to attract corporations and businesses so that they'll form in that state. And basically, here's a comparison of how Delaware and Nevada stack up on several points. First, the tax on corporate earnings. Most people know that Delaware does not tax corporate earnings that are earned outside the state of Delaware. It does tax corporate earnings inside the state of Delaware, but that's fairly rare. So unless you're actually earning income in Wilmington or Rehoboth Beach, you're not going to be subject to Delaware income tax as a corporation. In Nevada, however, all income is exempt. In fact, there is no corporate income tax in Nevada. So that is a strike in favor of Nevada, although it may not be a significant point. Second, franchise taxes. This could be a significant differentiating factor between Delaware and Nevada. In Delaware, the state imposes a franchise tax based on the number of shares the corporation has authorized. So let's say you have 100 million shares authorized and only 1,000 have been issued and are outstanding. If you have positive book value in the corporation, meaning that you've got a positive net worth, you may be subject to a very high franchise tax because you have that 100 million shares authorized. In Nevada, however, there is no franchise tax based on authorized shares. Now you might say, well, that is reason enough to incorporate in Nevada. But I like to point out that most companies, when they start out, may not start out as corporations. Today, the vast majority of companies that I'm forming are limited liability companies. And in Delaware, there is no franchise tax imposed on LLCs, just as there is none imposed in Nevada. So that's an important consideration. What else is important? Annual disclosure. Delaware requires an annual report of stockholder meeting dates, business locations outside of Delaware, and the number and value of shares issued. Nevada, on the other hand, only requires a current list of officers and directors. Now, Delaware doesn't necessarily require that, and so there is a little bit of a push and a pull in terms of what might be beneficial. In both Delaware and Nevada, the officers and directors can be just one person. Next, protection of officers and directors. This may be the most significant differentiating factor, at least under current Nevada law. And what I'm talking about is, when you have a corporation, you're looking at the corporation as providing you a shield from personal liability for any acts of the corporation. In Delaware, there is an exception to that rule. If the directors and officers do not act in good faith and exercise business judgment over the decisions that they're making, it's possible for a creditor or a person who has been aggrieved to go after a director for personal liability. It's called piercing the corporate veil. In Nevada, on the other hand, the statute is very clear that you basically have to establish fraud by the director or the officer in order for somebody to pierce the corporate veil and go after directors and officers and even shareholders. Another important distinction involves shareholder disclosure. Nevada and Wyoming are two states that allow something called bearer shares. Bearer shares are essentially when companies come into existence for the first time, their stock certificates are like cash in the sense that whoever is holding them at that time legally is the owner of the shares. But in order to protect the shareholders against theft of stock certificates, corporations began to maintain stock ledgers that listed all the shareholders, and therefore if you transferred the shares, you had to let the company know or the transfer agent know. Eventually, the stock ledger became the authoritative record of shareholders, and when stock was transferred, it had to be recorded in the company's stock transfer ledger. Most U.S. states no longer permit bearer shares, but Nevada and Wyoming do. Since bearer shares legally belong to whoever's holding them at the moment, the holder of bearer shares truthfully can deny ownership in the corporation if he or she does not hold the certificates. Bearer shares often are used for illegal purposes, such as tax evasion. They're also used for asset protection, which by itself is not illegal unless there is an illegal purpose behind the bearer share structure. It often results, though, in illegal actions when bearer shares are involved. For example, if you hand your shares that are bearer shares over to somebody else so that you can truthfully deny owning them in the future, gift tax may be due on that transaction. Did you know that? Even though the question is whether or not they're really holding it for you as a nominee. Further, if the person ultimately hands them back to you, then the person who hands them back to you has to pay gift taxes on the transfer. So bearer shares might have some legitimate uses, but I really, in personal experience, do not believe they afford a significant benefit. And so while Nevada corporations tout them as, or Nevada corporate entities that try to set up corporations in Nevada tout bearer shares as being a distinct advantage over other states, I'm not sure that that's a real benefit. Now, there are disadvantages or a flip side to Nevada's perceived advantages. Some companies, because of the bearer share statute and the lack of piercing the corporate veil, have attempted to take advantage of Nevada's laws to evade income taxes. Now, we all know that avoiding income taxes is our legal right as long as it's done in a legal and ethical fashion. But evading taxes, evading income taxes, is illegal. And as a result, Nevada corporations have become more frequently audited by the IRS than other corporations in any other state. In this regard, the state of Wyoming has most, if not all, of the advantages of Nevada, but at a lower audit rate, at least for now. There are other intangibles to consider, too. So, for example, if you incorporate in Delaware instead of Nevada, your corporation may be seen as having a little bit more legitimacy just because Delaware has been around so much longer than Nevada, as opposed to what we know or don't know about Nevada's corporate laws. Now, this issue may not be of great substance, but it's worth considering. An additional benefit of Delaware, in my opinion, over Nevada, is that Delaware, being the first state in the country and one of the first states to develop its own chancery court for adjudicating all of the disputes between shareholders and directors and corporations, has an extremely well-developed jurisprudence in the area of corporations. meaning that there is a lot of case law and there are a lot of examples of where the Delaware courts will find something to be good or bad against a director or a corporation or shareholders. And they've developed the business judgment rule and the good faith standard of operations. And we know that the Delaware courts are fairly flexible when it comes to evaluating the activities of directors and officers in light of the corporate form. We know how the Delaware courts generally react to certain fact patterns. So it gives us certainty if there is going to be any dispute on what we can or can't do. It gives us certainty to operate in Delaware, whereas Nevada is a relatively new state and has relatively new corporation laws. Again, they've tried to draft them flexibly so that more corporations are attracted to the state. But we don't have a lot of jurisprudence, a lot of cases in Delaware to give us guidance. Regardless of the state in which you incorporate your business, the state in which it's operating probably will require it to register as a foreign corporation. In addition to registration fees, the corporation typically is going to be subject to the same kinds of reporting and taxes that any corporation operating in the state would have. So if you go and incorporate Nevada, but you're operating in Virginia, and you have 100 million shares authorized, you're going to be subject not only to Virginia income tax, but you may be subject to Virginia franchise tax. If you'd like to know more about incorporating and what state to choose and how to go there, we can help you at Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Give us a call at 703-218-2100 or visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.